Mitt första favoritband någonsin var Guns N' Roses. Jag upptäckte dem när jag var 8 år gammal och jag har aldrig slutat att lyssna på dem. Jag älskar dem fortfarande. Ända sedan dess så hade jag affischer av Saul Hudson, det vill säga Slash, på väggen i mitt pojkrum. Jag tror att vissa affischer finns fortfarande kvar. Så du kan tänka dig att jag var väldigt ivrig att få träffa mannen själv år 2010 på Ruiz Rock. Scenario var dock inte det bästa. Jag och min dåvarande kollega Anne, hälsningar till Anne, fick en intervjuslott med Slash. Och vi fick då förstås, när han är stor kärna, så vi fick en tid, och det här var under vår direkta sändning. Så vi måste göra den här intervjun i direktsändning, vilket inte ofta blir lika bra som att man har ordentligt med tid på sig och kan sätta ner sig utan tidsstress helt enkelt. Nåja, så intervjun ni kommer att få höra, så den gick ut. Då som den gjordes, den gick ut en direkt sändning en söndag eftermiddag på Extrem, då vi sände från Ruiz Rock-festivalen alltså. Och vi hade såna här stora ryggsäckar på oss med en sån här liten mast som stack ut ur ryggen då. Så vi försökte med dem, de var väldigt tunga, väldigt obekväma och tog mycket utrymme. Och med dem så försökte vi då tränga oss in här på Slash omklädningsrum på backstagen på Ruiz Rock då. Och ljudkvaliteten, vad var den var? Jag tror att man kan höra lite såna här producentkommenton. Och allt händer med lite eld i reven. No, men så här gick det.
En av världens mest legendariska rockmusiker, Slash. Welcome to Finland.
Hey man, what's happening?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
When did you arrive to Finland?
This morning. Yeah, about 5 o'clock this morning or something. Oh, wow. 3 this morning.
What have you had? You've probably been resting. Have you had the chance to do anything else?
No, we went straight to the hotel and crashed and then came here.
I've seen you actually like 30 times already this week, and there are a lot of Slash copies out here on the festival area. And you're probably used to seeing people with sunglasses and a Slash type of hair and a top hat. But have you ever seen someone that has really looked like you?
Not really. I mean, I see a lot of people that have like wigs and all that kind of stuff. But you know, some of them are really, really like look very much like me. You know, it's a little eerie.
Because as I understood, you have met one of our own rock stars from Finland, Ville, from him. So he once told me here on this festival actually that he sees also a lot of Ville copies. But and then this one time he saw one guy that really looked like him, and he scared the shit out of him. But this has never happened to you.
The worst that ever happened to me is I went to a party and there was two other guys dressed exactly like me at the party, and that was a little weird. I think it was weird for all three of us, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's usually something that's fabricated, a wig and a hat and glasses and a leather jacket, and you know, so you can tell it's just somebody trying to. I've never seen anybody that actually looked just like me, you know.
I just, I've been listening to your music since I was 8. Guns N' Roses was the first band I really started liking when I, 20 years ago. And I also read your book a while ago. And as I've understood, you have calmed down a bit. You have family now, and you have left the drugs and stuff like that. But you were kind of a wild child back then, as I understood, based on your book and stories and interviews I've read and heard. But is there something with the old days, so to speak, that you still miss?
That I miss? No, I don't really miss anything. I mean, I miss Guinness. You know, other than that, you know, it was all just sort of nothing really has changed that much. The fact that I don't do drugs anymore, I don't really miss that. You know, the rest of everything is, you know, sort of the same. You know, my wife and I am married, but I have a pretty rock and roll wife, so we still get pretty crazy. So I, you know, and I more concentrate just on, you know, like the shows and recording and all that kind of stuff, which was always my main focus anyway. So now I just don't have a lot of, is you know, sort of chemical distractions that I used to have. So there's not really much that I miss from before.
But was it difficult to convince your friends that that you have stopped, you've left that behind you? Because probably, like, friends from other bands, probably still after you left drugs, for instance, probably people still kept calling you and didn't make it easy for you. No, let's go and score this and that. Or was this difficult?
No, I never had any friends. Oh. Just the guys in my band and the crew. I didn't have people that I hung out with and did. And I was a loner, you know, when it came to drugs. So I didn't really hang out with people and do drugs with them.
So a while ago, you released your solo album, but you're not singing on it. You have a lot of friends of yours and really talented singers performing. We had Ozzy here on the same festival the day before. You have Fergie, you have you have Dave Grohl, you have a bunch of really, 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 really known vocalists.
Alice Cooper, Chris Cornell.
I mean, that list is really, really impressive. But isn't it quite risky to make an album like that with that sort of a all-star lineup? Because when you tour, for instance, here right now, when you're in Rostock, I don't think Ozzy and Fergie are going to sing here tonight. So isn't it risky because you can't perform the songs in that way that they're performed on the album?
Well, I mean, we do a bunch of songs off the album, so you can you can judge for yourself. We do it pretty good.
Okay. Would you sometimes want to try to make some sort of bigger spectacle and bring all of these friends to the same gig and perform the whole album?
It's one of those things I'll probably end up doing at some point next year, where I'll do one concert and I'll have everybody come up and sing, and then we'll probably televise it or something. But right now, as it stands, what we do is we have guests, like, you know, I'll have Lemmy up in one city and have somebody else up in another city, depending on who's in town when I get there. You know what I'm saying? So we do it, but just not everybody on the whole record.
Who was the easiest and who was the hardest to work with, and why?
Everybody was actually, believe it or not, was really easy on this record. Everybody was really great. So I have no complaints about anybody, which is amazing because I've been with some difficult singers.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a very easy record to make.
Yeah, right.
you've done a really, really long and interesting, productive career. But during your years as a famous musician, has anyone ever tried to mold you into something that you're not? You know, any manager or agent or record company or some other people try to make you into something that you're not? Like, for instance, in the early days with Guns N' Roses, when you weren't that big still.
One of the great things about what Guns N' Roses was the fact that we wouldn't take shit from anybody. That was one of the things that made Guns N' Roses great, is we got really as popular as we did doing everything our own way. So I've always stuck to that. I've never been molded by anybody.
I actually also read, it was last year, I read this Mick Wall book that Mick Wall wrote about Axl. And it was quite interesting to read about the really early days before you were signed. And there was something, I don't know if this is true, you can tell me if this is true or false, but before you got signed, some major company approached you and offered a quite good deal. But then I believe it was, I don't know if it was...
Excuse me? It was Chrysalis.
Okay.
Yeah, and we told her she had to go walk down the street naked if we were to sign a deal with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's quite risky to have that high demands and, you know, take risks like that. You know, it could have been that you wouldn't have gotten a deal.
We didn't want that deal anyway.
Oh, okay. But we
just wanted to see if we can get her to walk down the street naked.
Did you?
No.
Oh, okay. There are a bunch of people listening right now at home when we're talking to you. And they're probably, hopefully here listening as well. But tell to the people home, what are they missing if they can't see your show today, tonight?
A pretty high energy, real old school sort of guitar, bass, drums, vocal, rock set, you know, delivered at high velocity.
Okay. Yeah.
I love it.
I saved it.
We're doing songs from my record, songs from Velvet Revolver, songs from Snake Pit, songs from Guns N' Roses, and so we do this whole... It's a cool set.
Då vi träffade Slash så stod han inför sin första solospelning i Finland. Det här skedde alltså på Rostock en solig söndag 2010. Sättet det bestod av låtar från hans första soloplatta som hade släppts lite före, samt en hel del klassiker förstås av Guns N' Roses och Velvet Revolver. Jag minns att under spelningen, jag stod liksom lite där bredvid scenen och tittade på hela spelningen, och under spelningen så vinglade Pate Mustajärvi, som är solist i finska bandet Popeda, då bredvid mig helt stupfull. Han drack rödvin från stup, får alltid mellan in till turnébussen och fyllde på. Och veckan innan så hade då Pate avslöjat i löpsedlarna att Johanna nu slutat dricka. Nå, Slash han har helt på riktigt slutat med allt fuffens. Han har varit helt nykter och helt fri från all rusmedel sedan 2005. Och det där under 80- och 90-talet så var det ju inte så. Då var han svårt nerknarkad och det där. Det är nu inte en tid han saknar direkt. Och han var dessutom enligt sig själv då alltså en ensam knarkare. Så han saknar inte ens den här sociala delen med att knarka eller docka eller något sånt här. Under Rostockfestivalen så det där som var alltså 2010 så såg man väldigt många Slash-kopior. För det är ganska vanligt att människor klär sig som Slash. Man såg dem längs med hela helgen. Och Slash han är van med det då. Alltså liksom top hat, solglasögon och sen människor hade då peruk. Vilket Slash inte åtminstone ännu behöver. Och han har varit med på fester var han har mött kopior av sig själv. Och det har kanske varit lite sån här tryckande stämning då. Innan den här första solospelningen i Finland så hade Slash släppt sitt första soloalbum. Och det är väldigt namnstarkt. Slash, han sjunger ju in själv, han spelar gitarr. Så att den här skivan, så det var ganska namnstarkt bakom mikrofonen där. Alice Cooper, Chris Cornell, Ozzy Osbourne och Dave Grohl. Givetvis så har de inte möjlighet alla att turnera med Slash. Så att live så sköts sången fortfarande faktiskt av Alter Bridge-vokalisten Miles Kennedy. Som också var med på den här plattan förresten. Men Slash han planerade då när jag träffade honom att han skulle ordna ett gig som skulle ha, han skulle ha alla de här sångarna med på scenen. En stor keika med alla, men jag är osäker om det blir av. Slash har alltid fått vara det här sig själv och han har varit liksom omöjlig att forma om sådär. Att så som han är så är han. Och ända sedan Guns N' Roses-tiden så har han alltid gjort vad han vill. Och Guns N' Roses hade ju ett rykte att, ja, no, det har ni säkert hört rykten om dem, framförallt då solisten Axl Rose, att de var lite krottiga. Och redan när de blev erbjudna ett kontrakt så lär de ha bett den här skivbolagsdamen gå naken på gatan, annars skriver de inte under. No, det här ryktet stämmer enligt Slash, men hon klädde aldrig av sig. Och Guns N' Roses hittade sen ett annat hem från ett annat bolag.